I'm a senior at the University of Pennsylvania with a 3.9 GPA, and I just cannot find a job.
This person is genuinely curious. Why is the job market so bad? I mean, applied to 800 jobs, only landed 18 interviews, hasn't gotten any offers. The job market really is that bad. And I'm serious, guys. If you look at last month's job report, it's the worst in 22 years. You're telling me this job market is worse than 2008? That's insane. And also, a lot of people are saying that there really isn't enough jobs for everyone. If you guys are wondering why the job market is so hard, it's a supply and demand issue. There's so many talented individuals in America that have college degrees, years of experience. You really have to grind. Wages are reduced, inflation is high. Pack of Lay's is like $7 right now. Competition is tougher than ever before. Interview rounds are tougher and longer and more crazy. I mean, I know friends that are going through the interview process. They're like, this is hard. Constant rejections everywhere. The world is changing. And it seems like nowadays, even getting a job at freaking McDonald's is kind of difficult. Check out some of these videos right now.
What up, everybody? It's been a couple days since the news came out that Microsoft laid off 9,000 employees. This comes on the back of 6,000 employees that were laid off a few months ago. Just wanted to comment on it. Some of my coworkers and business partners were impacted. I want to remind folks that you spend a lot of your time in your job. It's important to make sure that you don't tie your identity and your self-worth directly to your 9-to-5 or your job, because there's so much more life outside of your work. You need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. You're not giving yourself time and space to do things that you want to do. Invest in things physically, mentally, emotionally that's going to make you better and feel good as a person. If you get impacted by the layoff, it's going to really negatively impact you if you're not making those investments into yourself. You're not your job. For me, it's a means to an end. It's a way for me to generate income so that I can live the life that I want. For other people, I understand that it's their personality and everything like that, but just understand that companies are rapidly changing due to the advancements of AI and technology. None of the stuff I'm saying represent the views of my employer. They're solely my own. Thanks for watching and follow for more.
Check this out. There is a Berkeley professor who says that best CS grads with 4.0 GPAs coming out of Berkeley still cannot get jobs in tech. The tech job market has dried up. You have outspoken CEOs like the one from Klarna who says that AI can do all the jobs. Reporting goes further, says that this is an irreversible trend and that graduates are facing a money pinch over the next 4 years because they cannot find an opportunity. Tech companies laid off over 37,000 people since January. As a founder, I get to see in a lot of different companies, and unfortunately, I've seen staff from some of our clients be laid off and they're not hiring them back. What they're doing is actually going into their salaries and using that money, hire an AI implementation partner who can do that job for them. A lot of these roles, like connecting databases, you know, processing claims, reviewing different tracks, doing billing, like all of these rote repetitive tasks are being automated, and there's huge displacement. Job hunting is a real problem for this day's college graduate. What do you think the solution is? How can we help find jobs for young people, or how can they find meaningful employment?
The job market is so bad that when I went to Washington, D.C., I dropped off copies of my resume to my state representatives and was like, hey, can you help me find a job? There are no jobs in your district, and half the postings you see are ghost postings. If you run the state, can you help me get a job?
Okay, little rant, y'all. Can we talk about how hard it is genuinely to find a job? Even as a college student, even after getting a 4-year degree, as a now upcoming senior at UC Berkeley, I understand how difficult it is. And that's why I want to put y'all on something. So I don't know if you guys know what class action lawsuits are. You sue companies because they're treating their customers bad, misleading people, doing what they're not supposed to be doing, all right? And you can do this through the Claim app. Again, it's all through an app, so you literally don't have to do anything. And I made, as you can see, $1,000 from doing nothing. Some settlements need proof, some settlements don't. Do whatever you have proof for, do whatever you don't. It's super easy and y'all gotta get on.
This morning I have a third round interview with a company that I've been interviewing at for the past 2 weeks, and it's actually a job that I really want. It is Monday, April 14th, and I am not posting this or anything about it unless I get the job. So if you're seeing this, I got a job offer after 2.5 months of being unemployed, after being laid off. I've never been so just all over the place since these last 2 months, but today's my third round interview. I don't know if it's the last interview. I feel like I'll have one more, but I'm so nervous because I've made it to final rounds before in the last 2.5 months, and then I don't like proceed. So I'm trying not to get in my head. I literally have prepped so hard for this interview, but I don't know. Wish me luck. Well, if you're seeing this, I don't know. Wish me luck.
Unfortunately, every bad thing you've heard about this job market is, it's true. It's very true. I have been interviewing for 3 jobs. I made it to the final rounds for 2 and did not get 2 out of 3. For both of these jobs, I thought I had it in the bag. I thought I'm going to get this job. For the first one, I had started interviewing in August. It was like 4 rounds of interviews. I got to the last interview, and that last interview was felt like a formality. And in that interview, it wasn't even an interview, that last one. The person even told me, like, this is kind of a formality. I just want to make sure, you know, I'm good with the selection. So I thought, oh, I have this in the bag. Like, I'm going to get this offer. I knew the hiring manager loved me. And even the hiring manager sent me an invite for like a Zoom meeting. So I'm like, oh, I'm definitely going to get it. Like, this is the offer. Like, why would she do a Zoom meeting to reject me? The Zoom meeting was to reject me. She basically said, you are great. This was a very hard decision. And she's like, we went with someone internal. Just like, we really liked you. We really wanted to hire you, but this person's internal and it was helpful for this role. It was a totally new role. It will be helpful to have someone who already knows the company. Second job, I got the rejection this week. Was very similar. I thought I had it in the bag. Like, I got to the final round. The final round was with the hiring manager's boss. That same thing. She asked me one question. And in the end, we were just chit-chatting. I knew she liked me. The recruiter, the way they were communicating with me, I felt like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to get this job. The recruiter, we were talking about salary. Then the recruiter reached out Friday, was like, look, you were great. They really liked you, but they went with someone else. And they were trying to get the budget to hire another person, but it didn't work out. But the recruiter was like, the hiring manager has already reached out to other people in the company to see if they're hiring. And he's like, pass around your resume. And the recruiter said, I've done the same. I've shared your resume with other recruiters and told me a few jobs to apply for. It's nice to get feedback for both the jobs where it's like, look, you're a great candidate. There's nothing you could have done differently. This is just how the cookie crumbles. But that's what makes this market hard, is like, you can be an excellent candidate and think you have it in the bag. The hiring manager could love you and you still may not get the job. There's just so many good candidates out there right now. I do still have one job that finals are done. And it's the same thing. I feel very confident. I feel like I'm going to get an offer, but I felt that way about these other 2 jobs. So like, I can't even be that confident and self-assured that yes, I'll get an offer, even though I have positive indications that I will, because it's just so competitive. There's lots of really good people. I think there's lots of people too who are like overqualified. Like, I think that's probably also playing a factor where you have someone maybe who was overqualified for this job and also had a great interview experience. I don't know. It's rough out here. I'm giving myself the advice I would give to anybody, but it's just like, you can't take it personal. You can't feel like there's anything wrong with you, your resume, your experience. It literally is just, imagine there's 3 of you interviewing for the same job and it's just like a difficult decision. And I think a lot of it is just up to chance and luck. Hope I get this job. I'm sick of interviewing. I've had so many interviews since August, which is a blessing. Like, I want to be grateful and not tell the universe that I don't want interviews. I do until I get a job. But interviewing so much has been exhausting, and interviewing for so many different jobs that are very similar but still different has been a little taxing. Like, I felt pretty low energy. So I hope I get this job I'm still in the running for, because I do want this job. This was actually like one of my top ones. And also because I'm sick of applying and interviewing. I'm exhausted with this phase of my life. I'm ready to move on to the next phase.
You know, I'll just speak for myself here. I don't want to work anymore. I actually really don't want to work anymore. And I'm so terrified. I start my new job this upcoming Monday. And I'm grateful. It seems like a position I'm going to like. The people there seem great. Hopefully it's a place I'll thrive. But the reason I'm terrified is because I had the same experience with my last job. Beat out 300 people for that position. I love the mission, love the people. And the workplace was great. I got fired. Was I fired because of work performance issues? No. Was I fired because I wasn't showing up? No. I was fired because someone just decided that they wanted to let me go. And luckily, after 4 months of having no income, I won the battle with the state of Nevada. I ended up getting back pay for unemployment. I still went 4 months with literally no income because one person decided that I wasn't a good fit for the team anymore. I hope by hearing me talk, you can tell that I'm very dedicated and passionate about the jobs I hold, which is why this terrifies me. It's not a lack of not caring. It's a issue of who holds the power. Even though I believe to be doing great work and so do my coworkers, that didn't matter. It all came down to the decision of one person who just had the power in that moment. And there was nothing I could do to really fight it or get that job back. so yeah, I'm absolutely terrified to give that same passion and energy to another place, because what if it happens again? And this is why, even with me getting this new job, I'm gonna continue to fight for more worker rights, okay? Continue to fight for unions and shit, because I know I'm not the only one who has gone through shit like this, and I know it's embarrassing to talk about, but talk about it because it's so common, and I know we all want more power in what our workplaces are doing.
Being unemployed is such a privilege. I'm at the park on a Tuesday at 1 o'clock doing nothing.
Hey, my name's Ashley, and I'm one of the tens of thousands of federal employees who were unjustly fired this weekend. And I want to tell you a little bit about how that happened and why, as the American people, we should be really worried about this. When you're hired on as a Fed, you go through something called the probationary period, which sounds like something negative, but really it's just the either 1 or 2 years after you were first hired where you don't have the full like tenure or protections that other, you know, senior career federal employees have. So if you're hired with a disability, which is also called Schedule A, as I was, your probationary period lasts for 2 years. So I was hired as a contractor to the NIH in March of 2022. I was hired on as a Fed in September of 2023. And now here we are in 2025. And I still have about 8 months left on my probationary period, if my math is correct. Now, this might sound really boring, but this is important, okay? So pay attention. The Trump administration has decided that in order to do a wide-scale reduction in force, they are going to just, without any regard for who the people are, what their positions are, or their seniority, whatever, any probationary employee that is still within their 1 to 2 year period is just fired. And that's what happened this weekend in the Department of Health and Human Services and its sister agencies like the National Institutes of Health, which is who I work for. Okay, so probationary employees fired. My colleagues and I all got the same form letter from an unknown HR account saying that we had been fired for performance issues, okay, which, as you can imagine, with no proof to back up performance issues and the exact same form letter sent to all employees, you know, the performance issues really aren't the problem here. So obviously I'm upset, right? Like, I landed in Arizona to visit my grandmother and some other family members, and at 10 o'clock at night I was checking my work email to find this form, you know, termination letter that was sent to everyone else in my position at the agency. So it sucks, right? Like, you don't want to lose your job. You don't want to be fired for political reasons. And there will be class action lawsuits to fight back against this, but that's not really what I'm worried about here. And this is why I want you to pay attention. The team that I worked for at the NIH is the team that directs all of the HIV funding for the entire National Institutes of Health. And HIV funding is what allows researchers to study how to find a cure, for example, or how to implement the treatments that are available so that people who either don't have health insurance or who are poor or who have disabilities or who are homeless are able to access HIV treatment in order to live happy, healthy lives. Okay, so people are just being indiscriminately fired from programs like this. There are also programs at the NIH that study cancer. You know, if your mom got breast cancer last year, for example, the money that is going to these scientists who are employed by the federal government, these are the people who are doing the cancer research, trying to find a cure, trying to figure out the best way to support people who have cancer. Similarly, you know, firefighters are sometimes federal employees. The National Forest Service are federal employees. The Federal Aviation Administration are federal employees who have been fired under this probationary issue, okay? You are worried about air traffic controllers not having, you know, enough people to staff the control towers, and we're having more plane crashes these days. Like, these are people who are being indiscriminately fired. And often the folks who are on probationary periods are the ones who are the most energized. They just got out of their PhD program, for example. They're excited to start. They've committed themselves to a lower paying career in the federal service in order to serve the American people. So these are the people who are being fired. Now, if that doesn't worry you, that stuff is fine with you. You want to see the government cut waste or whatever they're saying their excuses. That's fine. But if you care about the programs that help people in this country, often the people who have the least amount of resources, this should worry you. Federal employees are not evil bureaucrats that are trying to take American taxpayers. We are the people who are taking lower paying jobs on purpose in order to make sure that the social programs we have in place in this country are carried out. So if you'd like to learn more, leave a comment. I'm happy to make more videos on this issue, but I want people to know what's really going on.
Okay, you guys, I just had to come on here and talk to y'all about why we had to move back in with my parents. I feel like there's a negative like connotation with moving back in with your parents, but there's no negative vibes here. We're
super close with my family. It feels like a big sleepover. My parents are literally angels. They're so supportive, and it's actually such a blessing, and we're super grateful. The reason why we moved in is because ever since my husband and I got married, we basically decided, at least for the early years of our marriage, we were going to house hack. And I seriously cannot recommend house hacking enough. I think the first 2 years of our marriage, we rented, just kind of got our finances in order. We're saving up to buy something, but we did not start off with a single family. That was not even an option for us. We knew we wanted to buy a multifamily that's stationed in Texas, and they have lots of duplexes there. So we bought a two-family home, a duplex, and we lived on one side, and then we rented out the other side, and most of the mortgage was paid by our tenants. It's like a major life hack. They call it house hacking. And when we moved to Oklahoma, we rented out both sides of the first duplex we bought, and we bought another duplex here in Oklahoma. We're making money on the duplex in Texas, and then our mortgage was very cheap here in Oklahoma. Now we are looking to add a third duplex to our portfolio. I just can't say enough about house hacking. People say, oh, I can never be a landlord, or like, I don't want to deal with the headache of tenants. But if you have a good system where you're vetting these people and doing the background checks, that really shouldn't be a problem. We've had amazing tenants and had great relationships with all of our tenants. If you're buying quality properties, maintaining them, vetting your tenants, then I really can't recommend being a landlord enough. It has really given me a lot of peace of mind about stepping back from working and just having that passive income and kind of leaning on that a little bit more while I've stayed home with my toddler. So just to make the transition easier, we were able to move in with my parents, rent out both sides of our duplex here in Oklahoma. So now that one is paying for itself. We're just able to save up and prep for our next property that we're trying to acquire. Ultimately, the goal is that our real estate portfolio will pay for our single family home when we do settle down and get that dream home, forever home. I know some of you guys commented like, I can't wait to see the new house when you guys move in. I'm gonna be filming from my mom's house for the next few months. She has a nice house. We are not there yet. I just wanted to clarify that with you guys and just bring you along and update you on the journey.
Okay, so I just started applying to jobs for software engineering maybe last week. I was inspired by Laura, who's on this platform as well, talking about her experiences, and it was super helpful for me. So I wanted to share my journey and see if it's helpful for other people. For me, I've been working in software for maybe like 9 years, and I've only worked at startups. And so I have never done like a LeetCode style assessment ever before in my life. Isn't that funny? I've been at my current company 5 years, and even then I didn't really like go through the interview circuit. I just like interviewed here and that's it. Like, I had a good fit with it, and so I just kind of picked this place and that was it. And so I haven't really done full interview circuit in a really long time. I've never done LeetCode style problems, and I also did not graduate CS. And so I never took like data structures and algorithms 101.
How are we supposed to get by in this country? I mean, we can't even get a corporate job. You can't even work a regular 9-to-5 job because it's not enough to pay for anything. And then they tell you to, oh, go back to school, or oh, just work harder, or oh, just network better. It's like, bro, there's nothing left. There's nothing left to do. You want to get in AI? Everyone's getting laid off. You want to get in banking? Everything is getting automated. You want to get in tech? Same thing. Everyone's getting laid off. What industry is bulletproof? You can't even join the government anymore. It's almost to a point where, like, if you're not a first responder, your job is not guaranteed. If you're not in the military, your job is not guaranteed. And even then, with the government shutdown, these people are not even getting paid to go to work. You got FAA controllers, you got military, but the senators are getting paid. So it's like, yo, like, what do you expect the younger people to do? Even people in their 30s and 40s who have gotten laid off, what are they gonna do? They can't upskill and reskill to what? And I just don't understand, like, what is the end goal of all this AI? What is the end goal of this? You're not even going to have any customers. They're not going to have any money. So it's like, yo, universal basic income is going to have to become a standard here because no one's going to have any money. No one's going to have any health insurance. Like, I don't understand what these CEOs are thinking. Like, are they thinking 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line? It doesn't seem like it. So I don't really know what they expect us to do. What are we supposed to side hustle ourselves to death and go do DoorDash and Uber Eats after our 10-hour shift? Like, come on, man. This place is falling apart.
My company is dropping people like hotcakes literally, I swear, every other week someone's getting laid off. So yes, I'm on the job hunt, but things have gotten a little weird on LinkedIn since the last time I was here, okay? The companies are expecting things that I'm like, what are you even asking for? And also like, chill, okay? This first job I pull up, first thing it says is that you are restless and relentless. Yes, bitch, I'm restless. I have ADHD. Is that what we're talking about? What do you mean? Okay, I keep scrolling. You are a left and right brain thinker, and you can seamlessly shift between the two. I don't think I understand what they're getting at with that one. You are engaging and know how to command a room. I mean, okay, sure, I can do that. You can manage multiple competing priorities. Okay, that just means that I'm gonna have a lot of my plate with little support. Cool, cool, cool. And lastly, you have a can-do attitude. You know what that tells me? That they're wanting someone to come in and they'll say, do this. You say, can do. They say, oh, but also this. Oh, and that, can do. Fuck you.
If you're struggling in the job market right now, just know that you can be doing everything right and still not get the job. Your resume might be top notch. Your interview skills ready to go. Your networking, your referrals, everything is good. And you can still not get the job. There are so many factors that go into it, and it is not your fault if you're doing everything right. This market is honestly insane, and as a recruiter, because I am a recruiter, it's crazy to see how many qualified people are in the market and they're still not getting the job, still not getting opportunity. I'm talking highly qualified directors, executives, leads, all that stuff. So it's important to realize, like, be patient with yourself. Like, this job market is insane. It's about timing. It's about just, like, you know, like when Oprah said, like, opportunity meets preparation and all that stuff. Like, it's just when the timing is right and all these other stuff. Like, you can be qualified for the job and still not get it because of one reason or another. So, I mean, I can give tips and tricks like, oh, do this, do that. But at the same time, like, you can be doing this and that and still not get the job. And it truly sucks. But at the same time, I just want to give you guys more tips. And when the right timing does come around, y'all could snag that job up. So yeah, follow for more, and we'll be on this journey together.
This is a PSA for all you hiring companies out there. If you require that that person comes to the office 2 out of 5 days or 3 out of 5 days a week, that is not a remote position, that is hybrid. Secondly, if you require that the person lives in the surrounding area, that is not a remote job. A remote job means I could be in bumfuck Kilimanjaro and I can sign in through my VPN and work for you. That is a remote job. A remote job does not mean, oh, in order for us to consider your candidacy, you have to live within 30 to 50 miles. That is not remote. That is not remote. Thank you.
After going through 12 interviews for one job over a span of 103 days just to get rejected, I've decided I'm going to Washington, D.C. And I'm going to Washington, D.C. and I'm going to lobby. I'm going to lobby for the bill. Bill that says, like, if companies are expecting more than, like, 2 hours from you in, like, interviews and stuff, like, that we need to be financially compensated because this is getting ridiculous. I've heard this story from so many people, like, so many people. I've seen videos on here of people saying that they went through 3 rounds of interviews for a job as a server at their local Olive Garden. It's not, you know, like 12 rounds over 103 days of my life, 50 plus hours, okay? And I'm lucky enough where I'm freelancing, like my schedule is a little bit more like flexible, but like how are people supposed to be doing this? Just to get rejected all of that time, like I understand if there's a better candidate. I just don't know why it would take 12 interviews to find that out. Like you could have known that from, I think, earlier on in the process. People don't have time to be doing that. Like it's like so hard to balance, like using your time in a way where you need to be investing into finding a job and interviewing and prepping and all that. But also that time is time that I can be spent making money, like going and walking dogs or nannying or doing my freelance work. And I have friends that work on like the recruiting side, the interviewing side of some companies. And they say there's generally no like care or concern for the candidate. I don't know who is running for office next, but I need that on the bill. It's getting ridiculous, okay? So if anyone wants to come to DC with me, just kidding, that would cost money. And even if I got the job, they probably lay me off in a year anyways, because that's what they fucking do. That's what they do. I'm over it.
Hey guys, just got done crashing out and crying my eyes out. I think we're all aware that the job market is an absolute joke right now. I have been applying for months and months with no luck at all, and I know so many of you watching this right now can relate to that. I'd love to start exploring other avenues that'll give me a stream of income. So for any of you guys that have tried freelancing or currently do freelancing, please let me know what you do and what websites you're using to do that. About to crash out again, because why didn't anybody tell me I had a fuzzy in my hair? Anyway, I currently do internal communications. I'm a writer, I'm an editor, I do graphic design, video design, all things under that umbrella, and I'd love to start freelancing as I continue my job search. So if anybody has any tips or advice, recommendations on where to start with that, I would appreciate it. Sorry to be such a Debbie Downer today, but that is just truly how I feel. Anyway, if you made it this far, I love you, bye.
If you guys love trading, check out the private Discord server, Patreon link below in the description. If you like stocks and options, trade with us, guys. We're making money every single day. I mean, just last month, 21 signals, almost 70% win rate with one of our traders here. I mean, you got over 100% on Amazon gains in the past. I mean, we're actually making a few hundred dollars every single day, and the profits are all posted here in profit recaps. Our traders are all extremely experienced. We trade every single day, live updates with a bunch of traders. You even got a Congress tracker, stock data, unusual stocks. You can also see unusual options to see what the insiders are doing, and more. I mean, this is a limited time only, a limited amount of spots. Join us, check us out. It's one of the best stock trading Discord servers out there.